الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. أياما معدودات. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: الصوم جنة ما لم يخرقها. أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. With regard to the protection of our eyes, that we must not look at haram, one wonderful solution which Allah Ta'ala has granted us, very easy, and the important thing is the solution. On one occasion, there was a nikah here in the masjid on a Sunday morning, and they asked me to say a few words. And in the matter, in the discussion, this came about, that when a person makes his namaz and when in standing position, it is mustahab that a person must look at the sajda place. When he makes ruku, he must look on his feet. When he is in sajda, he must focus on his nose. You can't see the nose, but you must focus on the nose. And this is also ajib thing, that the nose are right below your eyes, but you can't see your eyes. And what is in the nose also you can't see. But you, many person feel, I got control over my whole business, my everything, but you can't see your own nose also. Everyone else, I can see everyone's nose. All of you can see my nose. But I can't see my own nose. No one can see their own nose. So anyway, we have to focus on the nose. When in a sitting position, we must look in the lap. And when we make salam, we must look at the, on the shoulders. And the intention must be the kiram and katibin. And if it's jamaat namaz, then on which side the imam is, make his niyat also. And all the musallis on the right, on the left. That is what should be done. That got finished. And after about 2 months, one friend of ours, a very strong jamaati worker, and make lot of khidmat of the buzurgs when they used to come. He phoned me and he told me, I had this big problem that my eyes were out of control. And he was really a pious person, but he had this weakness. Every one of us got weaknesses. So he said, I hated myself for it. But because he was sincere and he wanted to get out of it, he resorted to his own thinking, and then he thought, I must make another nikah. And he got married. He made second nikah just to save his eyes, not to look at other women. But he said the same thing happens to him. But since I practiced this for 2 months, kept my eyes on their right places in namaz, he says now 100% I've got control over my eyes. So it's a matter, namaz is a solution to everything. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. But the necessity is to make namaz namaz. Just like roza is a solution to also everything. But if we roza, it's made roza. So that is the thing which we should try. And it is very easy when you're making namaz, there are no women around you. In your namaz, your cell phone is not out. Hopefully we haven't reached that stage that even in namaz we're checking our phone. We are going to what levels, only Allah knows. But at the moment still we're not checking the phone while we are in namaz. And then muftis will have another headache to answer that question. Whether namaz is still valid if you look at the cell phone or not. Whether it's amale kathir and all the wrong that goes with it. Anyway, so in namaz, just concentrate, just do that. But and we'll find at the beginning it is a mujahada. Because our eyes just look, go around. Even in namaz, our eyes are not in the right places. And especially in sajda. In fact, in the Khanqa of Hazrat Maulana Rashid Ahmed Gangohi Rahmatullah Ali, in Gangohi, Hazrat taught the murids how to do practical namaz. Alhamdulillah, yeah, also we do it. And that is a very important thing, to learn namaz practically. Not only in theory. not from bayans, not from kitabs only. We learn it there too, but practically. And very fortunate if we have a sanad, a chain, from who I learn my namaz practically, and that goes up. Because Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, Sallu kama ra'aytumuni usalli. Make your namaz as you saw me making namaz. We can't see Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasalam, but if you have your chain, you are connected to that. And then your namaz is according to that. So inshallah, later in the month, there will be that time when we'll have practical namaz also. So this murid, after Hazrat had taught them, he went, it was now free time in the afternoon, he started making his namaz, practicing his namaz to do it practical. Allah give us all tawfiq, what we hear to put into amal. It was his sleeping time, but he went and he practiced his namaz. After that, when he left rested, he saw a dream in which he saw his hoor of Jannat, but she was blind. So he mentioned to Hazrat Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Rahmatullah, I saw this dream. Hazrat said, looks like when you made your namaz, you made it with your eyes closed. So he said, yes, because I have to concentrate more. But the sunnah is even more than our concentration. To keep our eyes open in namaz. Many of us, even ordinary, the whole namaz, we keep our eyes closed. And most of us, in sajda, we close the eyes. The eyes must be closed, open throughout the namaz. They must not be closed. And they must be focused in the right place. That is very important. So mostly in sajda, we don't focus. We close our eyes. And we don't focus it on the nose. And it's an exercise to do that. And but a person will do this, and this is a mustahab. At the most, perhaps you can classify it as a sunnah of namaz. But the verge of this has got so lot value, then if the whole namaz is done correctly, what won't the namaz deliver for us in our lives? A person, we just have to make, in Urdu beautifully, it is said that, Chitni tum tumhari namaz ko chandar banaoge. How lot you will make your namaz a namaz of life, proper namaz, sunnat namaz, iqamat salah, itmam salah. How lot you will do that? Itni tumhari zindagi shandar banegi. Your so much your life will become splendid, will become magnificent. Your dunya's life also, your deen's life also, and consequently your akhirat also, if we make our namaz correctly. So let us do that in order to have the control of the eyes. And this also, while we are here in the masjid, it is easy. There are no women walking around. There are no cell phones here, nothing. So it in a user-friendly environment, if there we cannot do it, then how are we going to do it outside? Yeah, when it is so easy to do it, yeah, in the masjid, in namaz when we are doing, even if we're reading at home, do it there. Then out of namaz, we will see the barakat of namaz. Allah Ta'ala will protect our eyes. And a person whose eyes are protected, Allah gives that person respect and honor. And the first person by whom he gets respect and honor is his own wife. And the wife is the first person to notice that my husband's eyes are not under control. Before anyone else will notice it, the wife notices it. So if it is under control, she will have respect for him. We all complain, the wives don't respect us, etc. Our actions are such that we don't command respect. And demanding respect is not going to give us. Our actions must be such that naturally people respect us. And a person whose eyes are under control, Allah gives him respect in the eyes of everyone. In the eyes of his wife also, in front of everyone. So Allah give us tawfiq, inshallah. Then we were talking about the tongue. All the gunas of the tongue which are so severe. And with regard to that, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes that usually it's common because perhaps lack of sleep, lack of food, then a person becomes a bit edgy. And arguments start very easily. And we find very commonly in rozas, arguments start very easily. So when that happens, then whenever somebody, first of all, don't you start an argument with anyone. And this also is something when a person starts taking himself for granted. that I am a buzur. Now, he's not a buzur, but he's taking it for himself. And people not respecting him accordingly. So he becomes offended. Why don't the people respect me? Why don't the people listen to me, etc.? Anything, what a person has put in his mind, that I am this, I am an alim. Even if you have got an alim with a certificate, but that doesn't make you an alim. That is just for dunya's matters. But by Allah, innama yakhsha Allah min ibadihi al-ulama. By Allah, the alim is somebody else. It's not a person who's got a certificate. In the qabr, we won't be asked for our certificate and which Darul Uloom we graduated from. What our life was. By that a person, Maulana Madani Rahmatullah Ali told the students who used to complete Bukhari Sharif final year that if you remain as you are, you will remain jahil forever. Hazrat Maulana Anwar Shah Kashmiri Rahmatullah Ali should address the final student, Ayyuhal Jahileen, oh you Juhal. So they don't think you know lots still. So, and he said that if you will carry on teaching, hopefully, in the future sometime, you will become alims. That is also a kitabi alim. Not a real alim. Real alim is a person who is a faqih. And by fiqh and hikmat is not meant the kitabs. It is meant the knowledge of connection with Allah. Kunu rabbaniyin is the command. Become rabb wale. Isme mansub. The plural of isme mansub. Like you become a person who sells clothes is a merchant, he's known for clothes. A person who sells mitai is a mitai seller. Whatever work we do, so you become Rabbani, Allah wala. That is what you have to become. Bima kuntum tu'allimun al-kitab wa bima kuntum tadrusun. Your ta'alim and your ta'allum, your dars and tadris is that you become a Rabbani. Not a kitabi alim, but a alim that has been connected with Allah Ta'ala. So anyway, Rosa also, that if you realize a person becomes edgy. Another occasion when a person loses his patience and becomes edgy is usually on the suffer of Hajj. Ustad Hafiz Abdul Rahman Mia Sahib Rahmatullah Ali should explain from his experience of life that there are many people married for 50 years, 60 years. They go for Hajj and 50, 60 years, a little bit perhaps exaggeration, but no argument in their life. But journey of Hajj argument starts. And there with everyone, our Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali says, he's the Mukhadi Mir Sahib, that while making tawaf, people bump you. So a person looked at one person angrily. You bumped me. So somebody else told him, what else will you get? This is a place to be bumped. You're not saying, yeah, no, Allah not going to make place for you. And Hazrat, you come and you make your tawaf very nicely. You'll be bumped this side and you know, hardly caught your balance and you'll be bumped back and you'll get your balance with a bump from another side. All the time you'll be bumped and your eyes are also bumping with all the women there in tawaf. If you don't look after yourself, with your eyes also right at Kaaba Sharif, right in front of Hajar-e-Aswad, you are. So, yeah, this is what you must expect. Don't expect that people are going to respect you and honor you. Expect this in life. Until this doesn't start, even your dunya's life, you can't move forward. If you expect everything smooth sailing, and everyone must do everything for me as I want it, forget it. One good friend of ours told one time that for me, he said, for you to speak about parda is easy because parda is in your family. So I told him it didn't fall from the sky. We also had to go through a lot before it came in the family. So just like that, all these things don't just come in a person's life. Many people we expect, like somebody who has become dindar, now we also just must become. No, you don't just become. You'll have to go through the mal. And you have to go through all that. You will have to take the criticisms of people. And the close family people, their criticism you will have to take. All that, then you will be able to establish. Don't expect it. Deen, how did it come? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. With his immediate family. What Nabi Allah's Ladle Rasul. what he had to go through, then Dean got established. So today when Dean is established in any family, in any person, any community, it just didn't happen like that. There is a whole history behind that also. So we have to expect that. Don't expect, we want today everything must just come easy going. All must just become righteous. It's not. Allah didn't make alif lam mim. أحسب الناس أن يتركوا أن يقولوا آمنا وهم لا يفتنون. You will be tested. You'll have to go through the mill, then you can get it. So, with regard to the tongue, aged people will become. And when somebody, you don't start an argument with somebody. But somebody argues with you, somebody tells you something, then either tell him, إِنِّي مْرُؤٌ سَائِمٌ. I'm a fasting person. And if he's not an understanding person, he can't comprehend it, then you remind yourself, إِنِّي مْرُؤٌ سَائِمٌ. I'm a fasting person, not suitable for me to argue now. In Rosa, to argue, no, it's not nice at all. Just like once on PIA, Pakistan International Airlines, a person who was traveling first class, the host came and offered him wine to drink. And he told him it's free of charge. He said, no, I can't drink it. So he told him, no, it's free of charge. It's from the airlines. It's in your respect and honor. We're giving you this very expensive, valuable wine. So he said, no, I can't have it. So then he explained him, and this is also strange. The host and hostesses in the aeroplane, they know all our masalas also, according to their kitab, all the wrong masalas. You see, if you drink a little bit, it doesn't matter. You are worried you'll become drunk. If you drink a little, you won't become drunk. So he said, no, I can't. When the person insisted, he told him, go and give it to the pilot. So that person told that the pilot is on duty. So he said, I'm also on duty. Pilot is on duty while he's flying the plane. Afterwards, and he's not going to be flying a plane, he can drink if he wants to, according to their laws. But I'm on duty 24 hours. All the time I'm on duty. So we must remind ourselves, I'm on duty. If somebody interferes with us, in Nimron Simon. And it's not suitable for a fasting person to behave like that. When we are a person, when he keeps a beard, kurta, now his behavior must change also. He can't carry on like the fusak and fujar. Now he's an ambassador of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's wearing the dress of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And the more our beard is proper, amama is on the head, everything, more we must have, the more we must we are now ambassadors of Islam. An ambassador, he is wrong what he does compared to another ordinary citizen. The ambassador is wrong. His small mistake is also a very big mistake. And the ordinary citizen's big mistake also, they overlook it. But the ambassador, he's an ambassador. So when we are in Rosa, we should remind ourselves that we shouldn't, even if somebody argues with us, fights with us, we must not fight and argue. And for that, you try and sort it out. Don't waste more time. You walk away. You go away from there. If the person wants to argue with you there, you go away somewhere else. You save yourself. So this is to control the tongue in Rosa, to be arguing, fighting, it's not at all advisable. Consequently, we find that on one occasion, a complaint came to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, a problem, that there are two women who are fasting and they are on the verge of dying. The Rosa is having a very big toll upon them. They can't manage it. The Rosa is very heavy. Perhaps it was long summer days, whatever. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam sent a bowl to them and told them to vomit in it, spew into the bowl. So they took it, and to their utter surprise, that meat came out and fresh blood. And the whole day's Rosa, they didn't eat anything. Not that they were eating in secrecy or something. They did not eat anything. And now this fresh blood coming out, pieces of meat, they showed it to Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, they stayed away from halal, food, keeping roza, but they involved in haram. They got involved in haram in backbiting. And backbiting, the Quran Sharif says, أيحب أحدكم أن يأكل لحم أخيه ميتا فكرهتموه. Anyone likes to eat the flesh, who even ordered the flesh of your brother who is dead. After he's dead, that dead body's flesh you eat. You hate it. You can't, you abhor it. You hate it completely. So backbiting, is that what you are doing? You are eating of the flesh of your dead brother. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, they stayed away from halal. Halal food, they kept their roza, but they got involved in what kind of a haram? Eating swine is also haram. Eating meat which is not slaughtered correctly is also haram. And eating the flesh of your dead brother, how haram isn't that? So this is what we do, which unfortunately all of us, we get involved in. Backbiting is a thing. Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali lamenting on it, he says nobody is free. Even the gatherings of the very learned people and the very pious people, backbiting comes in there also. And how it comes also. For example, what we say, to backbite about somebody is haram. But, and just that but opens a whole door now. And you immediately you start everything of that person. You say it's not good to talk bad about somebody, but, and there you start. And any gathering, almost any gathering, they eat. There are few people, Imam Bukhari rahmatullah, he's famous about him. He stayed away from backbiting completely. He was not involved in backbiting at all. Otherwise, it can be anyone. People get involved in it. And this is so, it is like eating the flesh of your dead brother. And if it is of an alim you are backbiting, how much more worse is than that? That is even of a pious person you backbite. And then the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum, they asked, oh Allah's Rasul, that what we are talking about, if that is in that person, actually it is in him. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, that is backbiting. When you're talking bad about somebody, a thing which is in him, that weakness, that fault is in him, but he'll dislike you talk about it. To talk behind his back about it, that is backbiting. And if that is not in him, false accusation, that is slander. That is even worse than backbiting. That guna is more than this guna also. And today, so much just on assumption, and just on hearsay, people just came and tell us something, and we take it for granted. And also, that in ja'akum fasiqum binaba'in, a fasiq brings that information. You know, he's not of good character, he's not of good repute, and he tells you, and you just accept it. One is an honorable, respectable person, pious, dindar person, says something. One is that a number of people, righteous people are saying it. You make your investigation, you establish what is the truth, and many times it is a sensitive issue. To get down to the bottom is not easy, but you make all your investigation. But just to accept one person's words, and then you make it, and that person also is a person who is not a reliable person. In Islam, in the Western world, secular court, you just need a witness. He's not checked whether he's a reliable witness or not. In Islam, if a person is a fasiq or fajir, his evidence is not accepted also. He has to be a reliable person, a reliable witness. Is he first of all fit to be a witness? So a person who brings the news to you, the Quran says, in ja'akum fasiqum minabayn, fatabayyanu, check properly. Don't just accept what the person says. So we have to check. It's not just a matter of we just accept. And for to learn how to particularly run a madrasa, we should study the life of Hazrat Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmat. He was a class principal. And running of the madrasa, Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, and the advices he gave in all these matters. So a person who is ever, whoever is a person of position, the manager, complaints will go to them. And for them, they have to check. They can't just accept every complaint. Somebody has just got something against somebody, and he goes and complains. It's not for complaining. It is to take a point out against that person. So all this have to be checked. So anyway, so these ladies, so on that also, Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali writes that they stayed away from halal, and they got involved in haram, and the worst haram, eating the flesh of your dead brother, that haram they got in. On the Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah Ali further explained that rozas become difficult for a person, that these women were on the verge of death by committing gunas. So, and that is not only with rozas, but all our ibadat. If we are involved in gunas, ibadat becomes difficult for us. Our namazes become difficult for us. Anything, to speak the truth becomes difficult. If you are involved in gunas, you can't speak the truth also. And you can't say things as they have to be said also. Your rozas become difficult for you. Qiyam-e-layl, tahajjud namaz becomes difficult. And you stay away from gunas, you say Allah makes all this easy. Rozas become easy for you. So, and if you are embellished, you are adorned, beautified with nafal ibadat, then it doesn't become only easy, it becomes a pleasure for you. You start enjoying it. What other people feel is impossible. Like non-Muslims, they can't comprehend how Muslims make five times a day namaz. They're just making namaz whole day. But we know that with our five times, we're managing all our dunya's work. And mashallah, there are Muslims in every field of life. And they're fulfilling the rights of all the other things. And the namaz also. Non-Muslims just can't comprehend how you people keep rozas. It's impossible to keep rozas. But for us, little children are keeping rozas. Old people, sickly people are adamant we are going to keep roza. And they keep their roza. By and large, the Muslim ummah keeps roza. For the non-Muslims to stay away from alcohol, to stay away from pig, swine, how can you? These things are apart. But for a Muslim, by and large, we can say 100%, though it's not, of course, 100%, Muslims stay away from wine. Muslims are known that they don't drink. Muslims stay away from swine. So the more we will practice, and this is the power of iman only, that the weakest iman makes a person keep roza. Though it's just a formal roza, but then too it is an exercise. And to keep a proper, from there we can understand, for us to keep proper rozas, the more we will be obedient to Allah. We don't break His laws. Rozas won't only become easy, but they'll become a pleasure. People won't be able to understand that on hot days also you keep roza. And if Allah gives tawfiq, you will keep the rozas not only when they farad, even optional, nafal, and it becomes easy. So by committing gunas, our all ibadat becomes, iman goes in jeopardy. When you commit gunas, iman also is then in jeopardy. And if you stay away, your iman is protected. Your ibadat are protected. You will be engaged. Great buzur, which we should try and read, Akabir ki Ramadan, that how our elders spend their Ramadan, how much of the time. All this was because they were engaged in the ibadah, they away from guna. Then Allah makes all that great things which we regard as impossible. And it's in fact things which are not karamat, but we regard it as karamats of these great people. It is all because they stayed away from guna that Allah gave them this great feat. There are karamats of the awliya. Karamatul awliya haqqun is 100% true, it is. But many of the things are not karamat. To us, it is like a karamat. For a person, for them, it's just a natural thing. Just not being a human, but being an ummati, a true ummati of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah makes all that easy. On one occasion, Nabi alayhi salatu wa sallam saw a few sahaba radiyallahu ta'ala anhum and told them to tell them to use a toothpick, clean their teeth. They say, we haven't eaten meat whole time. For a whole day we haven't eaten meat. He says, I can see the meat of strands of meat of certain people in your teeth, between your teeth. What was it? They were backbiting about those people. So this guna is a terrible guna, and it has all its effects. And to understand what is backbiting, that backbiting is speaking of the actual fault which is in that person. It is in him. And to beg, and this our Shaykh Jazahumullah Khair explained, that Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala loves the respect and honor of the sinful Muslim also. That Allah says, I will deal with him, he's done wrong. But you don't speak about, so much also don't speak about his bad also. Because that will be backbiting and you will be involved in a very big guna. So don't even speak about the bad of your friend. Today, unfortunately, anyone, myself, anyone got some weakness, we will never go and tell that person. We'll talk about it to all the people. And that's not the solution. The solution is, Allahu Akbar, Bhai Abdul Wahhab Sahab, Rahimahumullah of Raiwin used to say, that for example, somebody is not making namaz. Your father is not making namaz. Now you can't go and tell your father. So if you want to, in a very nice way, tell your mother to tell him. Speak nicely to her. Mother can't get through to him. He says that use five means. Speak to this person. He must speak to that person. He must speak to that person. And finally that person must come. And in a nice way. From an outside source. Think of it. This is that man ra'a minkum munkaran. A person who sees some wrong happening. Fal yughayyirhu bi yadi. The strength and power of Iman, and when Islamic Khilafat is there, then by force of law, stop that person. And all the masalas are written in the kitabs. A person who doesn't make namaz must be jailed. A person who doesn't keep a sunnat beard must be jailed. That is when there is Islamic Khilafat. And at the moment, if we don't have that force, don't go and stop somebody by the force of your hand, because you will end up in court. He will lay a charge against you. In the environment that we are living, non-Muslim countries. So, فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِي فَبِلِسَانِي. Then use your tongue and speak against that. And use the right way of using your tongue, your pen, etc. in the right way. فَإِن لَمْ يَسْتَطِي فَبِقَلْبِي. Then with your heart. Normally, ulama say, hate that guna. But the line, the strain of the hadith is, you must stop it. Stop it with your hand. You can't with your tongue. You can't, then stop it with your heart. Now make dua for that person. Stop it with your heart. And you use your heart to plan now. How can I plan to stop it? And then the last is that if you don't hate that guna in your heart, and you don't feel anything, you may be involved in great work of deen. But the gunas which are happening around you, Allahu Akbar, in Syria, before the Scobert and before the Arab Spring, which was known, where all the country, the Arab countries, they all opted for Islamic rule and that. Before that time, in Syria, the amount of uloom that was in the masajid, and proper uloom of fiqh, of hadith, in all Damascus, Damishq, Hams, all the places, lot of uloom. And, but in spite of that, why did all these problems come? And on us also. There in the masajid, lot of, not one dars, lot of dars used to take place in the masajid. And dars of great, great subjects of tasawwuf. Dimishq is known also for tasawwuf also. The Abdal are famous that they are, they all from there. So this was also fiqh also, hadith also. All that used to carry on. At the door of the masjid, there is a person selling tea. And he gave free tea to the muhaddith and the faqih and the ustad who's selling also. He didn't charge them, gave them free tea also. But nobody worried about him. He didn't know kalima also. He's at the door of the masjid and he shouldn't make one namaz. His work was to sell tea. His work was to sell like pakore, samosas or whatever other things what is common there. But not one namaz and nobody worried about him. So when that we don't do, and Amar bil Ma'ruf, Nahya anil Munkar. So many warnings have come that if you don't do that, then with all your piety and with all your knowledge, Allah's very severe punishments come. And Allah comes to those people. It's a famous incident when Allah sent His punishment to a certain nation, a certain community. Then Jibreel alayhi salam went back to Allah. Ya Allah, there is one person who hasn't broken your law for the wink of an eye. Allah said, start with him. He did not a wink of an eye broke. He didn't break my law, but he never got a frown on his forehead when my laws were broken in front of him. So when we are just absorbed in all our ibadat, in all our khidmat of deen, we are not absorbed of the lay people. That is also our duty. And at least بِقَلْبِهِ. And Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam, لَيْسَ وَرَى ذَلِكَ حَبَّةٌ مِّنَ الْإِيمَانِ أَوْ كَمَا قَالْ. If in our heart also we are not feeling anything, we are involved in great work of deen, but we are not worried of what is happening, all the laws of Allah have been broken. So it is very important that we understand that. So anyway, ghibah, we must refrain from it in all its forms. And all gunas. Gunas, every time, guna of the eyes, of the tongue, all the gunas, and they will, our rozas will become more easier and more enjoyable. And also many of us, we have this in us, that we would like to keep the 6 rozas of Shawwal after Ramadan. But many of us, we just fail. We just can't get to it. Just stay away from guna and see how easy Allah will make it. And how we will enjoy the 3 rozas of every month, Monday, Thursday, rozas. Allah will make it easy. It is all our gunas. So this is a great lesson that in Ramadan, stay away from all gunas. And then your Ramadan will become actually a Ramadan. Like we are saying, many people, kar guzaris, we usually hear of jamaat, went to this place. Those people didn't even know it's Ramadan. We also, and what is the condition of that person who knows it's Ramadan, but he doesn't know it's Ramadan? We know it's the month of Ramadan. We are keeping the rozas. But what are rozas? We got no idea. For us, it's just staying hungry. As clearly it comes in the hadith, many people get nothing of their roza, but just staying hungry. People get nothing of staying awake at night, but just tiredness. And they didn't derive any. So though we are knowing, but we are unknowing. So we know the fact, what is Ramadan? How many of us know what is Ramadan? Including myself, what is Ramadan? Or just take ourselves, many years ago, who of us knew that there is the dua? Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban wa ballighna Ramadan. Allah reward the ulama. It's all in the kitabs, but we didn't know. Allahumma sallimna li Ramadan, wa sallim Ramadan lana, wa sallimhu lana mutaqabbala. It's all there. But till today, anyone, he can be the greatest wali and greatest mufassir. As you are reading Quran Sharif and you go, how much Allah opens on you. One time, Hazrat Maulana Shah Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah, what a great buzurg. He was making tilawat and he jumped, he came, wajd he got. And he told Hazrat Hakim sahab, ilm-e azim ata hua. Allah has given me a great knowledge. Allah just opened a door of knowledge now. That why does Allah forgive so much? Because Allah is ghafoorul wadood. That Allah loves his creation and who you love, you just forgive. The person, another person, and many people call it favoritism. Yeah, also Hazrat Maulana Shah Masihullah Rahmatullah says, a principal of a madrasa can never be successful until he doesn't favor. Now we all will think opposite, that you must be fair with everyone. But he says, tarjih bila murajjah. Don't favor without a reason. One person who comes regularly all the time on time for classes, one day he come late, you overlook him. And now you say you're favoring that person. That is your son, or is your brother, or is your family member, you're overlooking. But you are you every day, and we who come every day late, and we are being taken for task, and he's being overlooked. He comes every day. Look at the whole situation. Don't just look at that one position. So Hazrat Maasha Masihullah Sabra, and he proves it from the Quran. Tilka Rusul Faddalna Ba'dahum ala Ba'd. We gave preference. We favored some Rasuls over the other Rasuls also. Allah does favoritism also. And for reasons. That Rasul, our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, Allah favored him with such namat which no one in the world have got. Of the special qualities of our Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. So we're going to make objection on Allah Ta'ala also. But Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, he had that qualities which Allah gave him. So our rozas, let us try and keep them properly. Make our Ramadan, what is Ramadan? Let us, that famous saying, what is it? Well, however it is, that he who knows not, and knows he knows not, teach him. He's an ignorant. But he who knows not and thinks he knows, for you can't teach that person. In Gujarat they say, person who knows, how can you go and tell him? But a person who doesn't know, we are those unfortunate, which is a jahil-e-murakkab, complete jahil. Jahil-e-murakkab. One is a jahil who knows I'm a jahil. Teach him, tell him, he'll accept it. But the jahil who doesn't know and thinks I know, and I'm a know-all, how are you going to teach that person? He doesn't want to listen to you. He doesn't want to accept what you say. So a person, so this is that we think we know what is Ramadan, but we don't know what is Ramadan. We think we know what is Rosa. We haven't got still an idea what Rosa, Allah take us. And the way to reach there is also staying away from guna. Allah, when we close our eyes to haram, then Allah opens the eyes to halal. When we close our eyes to filthy women of the street, Allah opens the beauty of our wives and the charm of our wives. And you live like a king and a lord with your wife. And you have that great enjoyment. And when you, Allah, when we, the things of this dunya we close their eyes to, then Allah opens the treasures of akhirat. When we close our eyes to the other things, all novels and books, then Allah will open the beauty of the Quran Sharif. So as we read Quran Sharif, it just opens its treasures. So Maulana Abdul Ghani Phulpuri rahmatullah alayh, what an advanced age. Then that ayat, how many times he read that ayat before? That Allah is Ghafoorul Wadood. And then you understand why Allah just forgives. He loves His creation. So who you love, you just forgive that person. Because you love that person. So the Quran Sharif's treasures are unlimited. And the more we read and we want to go towards Allah, Allah will open the book to us, the kitab to us. And then we will see what the treasures. Otherwise, by and large, who are the ulama, the mufassirin, who know the sathi, the outward meaning of the Quran? It is an established fact. The Quran has got an outward meaning and an inward meaning also. Hazrat Maulana Shah Ashraf Ali Thanvi rahmatullah alayhi, one of our great buzurg ulama, great allamas of the past, he says, it's just simple words, he says, Wo alim-e-zahir hai. That he was great alim, written commentaries of great, great kitabs. But Hazrat says he's alim-e-zahir, only the outward, he hasn't got reality. That is what is to become an alim-e-rabbani, connection with Allah. Allah give us tawfiq. This is the month that everyone, without being a certified alim, Allah will bless us with that ulum. And it's a hadith that you practice on what you know, Allah will teach you what you don't know. And what you don't know is the other things what you don't know. And what you don't know is the reality of things. Allah will teach you what is namaz. Allah will teach you what are rozas. You practice what you have to do. And Allah will open such knowledge, doors of knowledge, bab, palaces of knowledge Allah will open. We do what we have to do. And main thing, stay away from guna. Ramzan, our rozas, beautify them. Remove all the haram from our rozas. And then see the value of roza. May Allah give us all tawfiq, inshallah.